I want to encourage, I wasn't sure to read a couple of these, but one I want to read, and as Janine was just sharing with us what she's going through, Jacob, Jamie, and I, we went to our Assembly of God District Council this weekend, and our general superintendent, Doug Clay, was there, and he shared several messages. And one, he makes this statement, but he pulls it out of God's Word, and it's from Psalm 23. And, you know, he mentions that everyone goes through dark moments, dark times, difficult times, and dark valleys, he says. It hits everyone. Everyone goes through some difficult times, some dark moments in life. And he shares and says, and I wrote it down, dark places are supposed to be places that we journey through, that we're able to journey through and walk through by God's presence, by God's mercy, by God's grace, by God's power, through the help of the Holy Spirit. They are places that we are to move through, not to camp in. So if you find your place, yourself in a dark moment, a dark time, a difficult time, just remind yourself, I'm just passing through. I am not from here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to camp up and set up a tent here. I'm not going to go ahead and bring my RV and, you know, and take it off the truck. I am not camping here. Lord, you are with your help. I'm going to go through. So I wrote that because I do tend to, I'm not sure how many of you would be open and say you do end up rolling out a mat and you do stay there for a while. You choose to do that. The Lord doesn't want you to stay there. And so he wants us to walk and journey through those. And in those moments, like Janine said, we can find him to be ever faithful and helpful in a time of our trouble. And we just need to learn to call upon him. Amen. Tonight's message, we're going to go back to the verse that Shannon mentioned this morning, which is our key verse this month. Exodus 35, verse 21. And I want to read that verse, verse 21. New King James Version. So let's read that. Exodus 35, 21. It says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Thank you, Father, for your word. Pray for your Holy Spirit to give us revelation today. In Jesus' name, amen. When Shannon and I were discussing about what we're going to be preaching on this month, and we knew that it was going to be a time to focus on missions. And just a thought in the back of my mind when we decided that we were going to pull this verse and that not use it for our benefit, no, but to actually look at this verse and find out what God's people were doing when there was a mission and there was a task at hand, what God's people saw themselves able to do with God's help. And so the back of my mind thought, people are going to think you're using this verse to get them to give money. That's the thought in the back of my mind, that people were going to think that we're using this verse, pulling it out of scripture incorrectly, and that we're going to use it to kind of provoke or to guilt trip people to give to missions. Listen, if you have a heart and you don't want to give to missions, that's between you and God. And that's not, you know, you don't answer to me. You answer to God. But if you look at your heart and say, God, not just the people in my backyard, but the whole world needs to hear Jesus. The whole world needs to hear Jesus. And there are people who are answering the call when they say, hey, Jim, hey, John, hey, whatever their name is, the missionary's name, I want you to go. They'll say, Lord, I'll go, send me. And they actually obey to God's voice. And so we find here that in this verse, we find that people, their hearts were stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And this is what we're going to talk about today. If you want to underline that, if you're writing notes, whose spirit was willing. Everyone whose spirit was willing. Now, that word willing in Hebrew is nadab, means to offer freely. A lot of times it's really easy to offer someone else's stuff that it's not yours. Especially kids, they understand. You know, you tell them to spend their own money. No, I want to spend your money, mom or dad. It's a whole lot easier to spend somebody else's money. But here they were offering freely, offering themselves, willing oneself willing to offer what they had. And if it wasn't materialistic, it was what God enabled them to do. Listen, some of you can do certain things that nobody else can. Maybe somebody can do something like you, but there's nobody that could do it like you. The Lord's giving you that talent, that ability. And so these people responded to the call. And one of the things that I was asking the Lord, and I asked the church to consider if their spirit is willing. Willing to do what? If their spirit is willing to build the kingdom of God. See, a lot of times we end up getting to this place where our focus gets off track and we're just worried about me, myself, and I. I understand you have to, you know, tend and you have to be take responsibility as a parent, as an adult, as a teenager. Take responsibility over what you have, over your belongings, you know. But this is something that God desires for each and every single one of us to get involved in. You see, the people here in Exodus 35, the tabernacle needed to be built. And again, that tabernacle was a place that all other nations would be able to see something amazing, supernatural. I mean, remarkable happens. Hey, there's a cloud over there, and it stays there. Now, all of a sudden, when the cloud moves, it seems like everybody else moves. They pick up that whole tent, and they move. Then at night, it's a pillar of fire. Did you get that? It doesn't happen over here on this side of the mountain. It only happens with those people. To point out that God, the creator of the universe, is their God, and those are his people. God gives us the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose, not so that we can just, you know, just come to church one, two, three times. God gives us the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose, that we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit, that wherever we go, we have the ability, the opportunity to take God's presence with us into a certain situation, into a certain room, into a certain place where his presence probably wasn't there before. And so I asked the church to consider. And ask yourself, maybe right now or later on, is my spirit willing to build God's kingdom? But pay attention and be very careful how you answer that. Because you got to look inside and say, okay, what's more important? I need to give attention to what God wants me to pay attention to, not what I really want to pay attention to. To pay attention to what God's desire. Slide one. To pay attention to what God wants us to do. What's the big deal? Now, a lot of times how we live points out what's important to us. You know, people do what people want to do. And that's a statement that my father-in-law would say, and I still see it today. People will do what people want to do. But it's what they do that points out what's the big deal in their life. What's more important? What's valuable in their life? And you're able to see that. And I've always, you know, stated this or thought about this, that when I drive to church, which is not very far, but there were times that I would go pick up teenagers or go pick up people that needed a ride to church, and I would see people mowing their lawns, washing their car, doing something to their house, doing the, you know, flower beds, and this is Sunday morning. And that points out that on Sunday morning, now some would say, well, that's their only day off. Well, okay, that's your only day off, but it still points out what's more important, that you're not coming to God's house. And so I want to state this to point out that I am not saying that those that do that are going to a place, you know, that, you know, they're going to hell. I'm not saying that. But it points out that what's more important to them in that moment on Sunday morning, what's the big deal? See, what's in your heart or what's in your spirit? What are you willing to do for the Lord? Again, be careful how you answer that, because the Lord will hold you responsible for that. But it's a time that we have to actually ask ourselves, examine our hearts, and say, what's the big deal? What's very important? What am I willing to do? Am I really willing to build the kingdom of God? I believe that we put more effort into what matters more in life, right? I believe that we put more work into what matters more. I believe that we make sacrifices for what matters more. I know that this building isn't the church. We are. But we display or we reveal what matters more in our lives and how we live. I remember in one of the teachings of the Blessed Life, Robert Morris, you look in someone's checkbook and you'll be able to see what's more important in their life. You'll see where their heart is. Where their treasure is, that's where their heart will be, Scripture says. And see, this building is special, though, because this building is where we gather in the name of Jesus. This is the building where we come to worship Almighty God. This is the building where we humbly come before our God in fellowship to build and reinforce relationships that honors God. I believe that a lot of people, they end up coming to a building just because it's just another check on their list, or it makes them feel good, or appeases another person, but never for the main purpose to glorify God. So we have to, again, examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what's the big deal in my life? What am I willing to, what am I or my spirit is willing to do? Is it willing to build the kingdom of God? Because we, believe it or not, we have a part to build in the kingdom. God has a part for us. Whether it be some kind of ministry within the church, whether it be some kind of ministry in a Bible study or facilitate a Bible study, or to be a part of a Bible study, to go to a men's Bible study, to go to a women's Bible study and be faithful in that. I mean, we find different ministries when we are a part of something. It is very difficult to be a part of a ministry when all you do is come to church and then you go home. But you don't connect. You don't come for the purpose of worship together. You don't come for the purpose of fellowship, of building or reinforcing relationships. This is something that I've been praying, and I wondered if I should say this, and God gave me the green light to be able to say this, but I've been praying that this COVID will not change the importance of every individual to come gather one another with other believers in God's house. Because this COVID has created something now I didn't grow up in church. Well, I kind of grew up in going to Catholic Mass, but that was just because my mom was forcing me to go. And the point that I was rebellious and we fought against it, my mom gave up and I stopped going to church. So I didn't grow up and have an experience like Shannon did as she was growing up. But I do see that how this virus, this COVID, especially what the government is saying and what to do and in-person services or don't have in-person services, I believe that this is causing a separation and causing those whose big deal isn't to glorify God makes it easier to separate from what God wants to do in the church. Now, I'm not saying hidden treasures. I'm saying hidden treasures in all the other churches. You know what I'm saying? Okay, do you get what I'm saying? I'm talking about church as a whole, that I'm praying that this COVID will not. I believe it cannot. I believe because Scripture says the gates of hell will not stop or prevail God's kingdom to being built. Satan doesn't have the power to stop it. But you know what he can do? He can whisper in the people's ears, believers and so-called believers, whisper in their ears and say, you can stay home. You don't have to go to that. Now, you know what? Because of all of this separation, I believe that that can happen. But it can only happen if the church allows it to happen. It can only happen if God's people really don't see the big deal in coming to be a part of church or coming to be a part of this congregation, the living church. It's a building, but we are the body of Christ. And I believe that people can allow this stuff that we're going in. Sometimes I don't even want to give this virus all the credit, you know? I don't want to give that. You know, we tend to give the enemy, the devil, a lot of credit, because a lot of times we give him, we put him the blame, when the blame is us. The blame is us not applying God's word correctly or not being responsible or just being lazy at what his word is telling us to do. I've been lazy. I've been there. I've done that. I don't have the t-shirt, but I've done that. And so, but I don't want to give this virus too much credit, but I do see how it could cause people who have been coming to church and been a part to where now, and if I'm stepping on people's toes, I'm sorry, but to now, it's okay to just come one time. But I understand those who are very reserved and say, hey, I take social distancing to the extreme. They say 6 feet, I say 12. And there are certain people that are like that, and I'm not dogging, I'm not putting them down by no means. They're taking precaution with that. But I believe that even if we do have a 12-foot social distancing, we can still glorify the Lord, be a part of his business, and have a willing desire, a willing heart, and a willing spirit to build the kingdom of God. And we can still do that. It's the problem of this separation, that what it can cause. So unless the people of God begin to consider, man, what's more important? What is at stake? What's the big deal? What is my spirit, my heart willing to do for the kingdom? Because if we become lazy, or we become lackadaisical, or we say that's really not a big deal, man, we end up forsaking the gathering. This is what Scripture says. Let's go to Hebrews 10:25. We forsake the gathering with other believers in worship. Then sooner or later, we forsake the gathering of believers for a Bible study, for dinner or for coffee, for just talking or conversing or just calling on the phone. And so now I have totally gone to a place where God doesn't want me, all because of what's going on in our culture and our world today, that has taken precedence and no longer is building the kingdom of God a big deal. Anybody ever use that term? What's the big deal? What are you actually saying? You're saying that's really not important. Why are you so caught up in that? Why are you even talking about that still? What's the big deal? Just leave it alone. So let's go to Hebrews 10:25. Actually, verse 24. I'm sorry, 24 and 25. Let's start in verse 24, because 24 is important. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Listen, we didn't create, Hidden Treasures didn't create church. God did. That's why we have the tabernacle. We have scriptures talking about the tabernacle, of how it was supposed to be created, of how it was supposed to be built. And what was the purpose? So that God's people can come to the tabernacle and drop off and bring their offerings unto the Lord and hear from God. And God's presence was there. For some reason, this statement it's made it into our passages. It's made it into our messages many times. But there's a reason for that, because we can find this verse in Scripture. And it wasn't in Scripture by mistake. The writer of Hebrews said, "Hey, I need a couple more verses. What should I put in? Hey, what should we put in there? We got to fill this, you know, we got to fill up this scroll here because it's a little short." No, it's we find it in there because it's what God's wanting us to do. He says, "And let us consider one another," not myself, not me, myself, and I. God's wanting us to, hey, you know what? Don't just consider yourself. Look at other people. Consider another person. And let's go to slide 2. Did you get it? Let us, thank you, Caleb. Let us be found. This is what he's saying. Let us be found. Let us be found considering one another. And here it is. In order to stir up love. Listen, God has placed his love in our hearts. Romans 5:5. Let's go there so I don't misquote that. Let's go to Romans 5:5. I believe that's what it is. Where God's love has been poured into our hearts. Let's start in verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have," let me put my glasses on, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." But here it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love." Listen, because we have the love of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that we just leave it there. We got to stir that. We got to stir that up. Stir up one another in love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. So again, I want to encourage the church. Encourage one another. Let's be found. Let us be found considering one another in order to stir up love. My first point is that let us be found pursuing the God that we say we serve. You say that you serve this God. Well, then how do you serve him? What do you do? Let's go to Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 122 says, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, someone said to me one time, I would love for such and such person to have the joy like I do, or to have a certain joy to come to church. You know, that gets contagious. It becomes contagious. Even within the family, it becomes contagious. There's the purpose why we have greeters. Imagine now if you ever come across a certain greeter in the foyer who looks mad or sad and says, well, you know, good morning. Let us know. Something might have happened just before that happened, but the majority of the time, I don't think that's ever happened. But all the time, our greeters are excited or glad that you came into the house of God. I don't think I've ever gone up to somebody and says, hey, glad you came, you know. No, I'm glad that you came. I'm glad that you came. So because of the fact that you are gathered here with us together, we're doing what Scripture is telling us to do, encouraging us to do. And we come together in the presence of Almighty God for His glory, for His honor, in worship, so that we can grow together, so that we can learn together, so that hopefully we can stir up one another with love and good works. So, verse 2 of Psalm 122, or let's continue. Yeah, verse 2. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. You know what the testimony of Israel is? That's the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you have a Bible, it's King James, New King James, the testimony is capitalized, okay? If your Bible, it's not capitalized, capitalize it, all right? You're not going to, that's not illegal. Capitalize it. That is the Ark of the Covenant. Where is the Ark of the Covenant found? In the tabernacle. So this is, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, of course, we don't have the Ark of the Tabernacle behind some veil. We don't need it because Jesus tore the veil. And the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, it resides within us. The Holy Spirit of God resides within us. So that's why we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, so where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. If nothing else, if you can't find any other reason why to come to God's house to thank Him. To thank Him for what He's done. To thank Him for who He is. To thank Him for another day. To believe, to love Him, to serve Him, and to share others what you believe. Amen? To give Him thanks. Verse 5, for thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This testimony of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, according to Hebrew Bible, the tabernacle was also known as the tent of the congregation. Why? Because that's where they congregated. That's where they went because the presence of God was there. It was a portable, earthly dwelling place of Yahweh, the God of Israel, used by the children of Israel from the Exodus. There was a place that now we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So you see, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that what we're going through today in our lives, in culture, not just because of political reasons or because of health reasons, but because of the fact that, I mean, we are in the last days, and somebody might say, they've been saying that for 20 years. Well, things have gotten worse in the last 20 years. Can I hear an amen? Things have gotten worse. So it is getting to that point where the Lord is coming, and I want to be ready. Brian was talking about that this morning. I want to be ready. But when you say, I want to be ready too, Pastor, make sure that you're saying, I want others to be ready also. Because it says in verse 24, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be found. Point two, let us be found with open hearts and ears to the Father's instructions. My second point. Let us go to the next slide. Let us be found with open hearts and ears to the Father's instructions. This is a lighthouse. I'm not sure how many of you would consider yourself as a lighthouse. But if the Spirit of the living God is within you and Jesus is your Lord and you are willing to build the kingdom, I want you to see yourself as a lighthouse. See yourself as a beacon of light in this dark world, in the dark school, in the dark business offices, in the dark places where you where you shop or where you live. Consider yourself as this. You see, let us be found with open hearts and ears to hear the Father's instruction. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. There is the parable of the rich young ruler. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This guy, there was something important. There was so important that he went to go find Jesus to ask him. This is something that we can experience or that we can relate to. Something that at a point becomes a big deal, but until we find out what needs to happen, oh, wait a minute, it's not such a big deal anymore. You've ever been to a store? This normally happens on Black Friday, shopping, you know, main shopping time. You're standing in a long line waiting for something to buy something. All of a sudden, the line is just way too long and it's taking way too long. And all of a sudden, you think the stuff I have in my basket or in my hands, they are not that important. You put them on the shelf and you leave. At first, you got up in the morning, you got up, dressed yourself, and went to that store to spend the time to go and drive through all that chaos to purchase something and find something, to find the deal, to find the deals, right? And you find that, and it's in your hand, and it was a big deal at first. But once you figured out what was it going to take for you to purchase that, the hours and the loud noise and the long lines and the crying kid behind you, and you're just like, this is not important anymore. So you put it down. This is what happened to the rich young ruler. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one." Jesus loved him so much that he was wanting to help him see, you got something you don't want to let go of. There is something that is keeping you. But I love you so much that I'm going to put it in the form of a question so that you can answer. And so he says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What was more of a big deal to him? To get to the kingdom of God, as he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" At one point, getting to heaven, having eternal life was a big deal. But when he realized what needed to happen in order for him to have eternal life, all of a sudden wasn't a big deal. What became more of a big deal? His possessions. That can happen to us. We can experience COVID. We can experience this difficulty in our lives today that at one point before COVID, going to church, serving the Lord, loving God, sharing Jesus, but because of all of what's going on, you don't even want to talk to anybody. You don't even want to pass a tract. Will anybody receive a tract from me? You don't even want to do all that. Why? Because of all of what's going on, and I don't want to get this. And somehow it's not a big deal anymore. It's not a big deal to come to church. It's not a big deal to watch church online. I'm not saying, I do admit this though, because we've watched service in our living room. It is different. Sitting at home. Now, during worship, I hope that you're standing up with your hands lifted high. I saw a Facebook meme. Pastors think their congregation is worshiping like this at home, like they do in church. But really what it is they're sitting on their couch and they're just watching with the remote in their hand. But I do pray that you are rejoicing and worshiping with us, standing up in your living room or wherever you're at. But I do understand and know it's not the same. It's different. It's different than, and I really believe that the reason why Hebrews 10:25 is so vital and so important that we come together to worship the Lord. There is something about coming into the house of God. That's why, that's probably why they said, I rejoice. Let us rejoice when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because the God's presence is there, because God's people come together. And so it's different. I'm not saying the presence of God can't speak to you and can't be there, but it is definitely different than when you come together in God's house. So it was disheartening because his possessions were a big deal. The rich young ruler sounded like he had desires of, I really want to get to heaven. But when he discovered, man, he discovered that what he had was more important. He was not willing, even though he was almost there. How many of you know you can't almost get to heaven? You either get there or you don't. Nobody, it's not something that you should prepare yourself to almost get there. It's something you should prepare yourself to get there. So again, being that lighthouse, it is a big deal that we see ourselves as this light, that we have something to offer, that we have something more important than ourselves. That light is more important than that lighthouse. If you bust that light or pull the plug off of that lighthouse, that's just a building right next to the water. It's not going to have the purpose that it has when that light is on and it's going around. You see, that lighthouse is important. We must all see the big deal of giving our all to Jesus. Exodus 35:21, they saw the big deal of bringing their talents, of bringing their resources to build the house of God. Now we are the house of God now, or we are temples of the Holy Spirit, but there's a kingdom to build, and we have to be willing to bring our finances, we have to be willing to bring our resources, we have to be willing to bring ourselves, and to be willing to build the kingdom of God. Each of us have something to give, each of us has an ability to do, each of us has the ability to surrender our whole lives to the King, and all of us are important to the Father. And there are many more who are important too. They just don't know Jesus yet. And those are the ones who are lost. And those are the ones who need to see that light in the dark. If you've never seen yourself like a lighthouse, please see yourself like a lighthouse. A lighthouse helps the fishermen or those who are at sea not to get to the shore and die because their boat crashes against the rocks. A lighthouse is out there to show and to illuminate those who cannot see in the dark. Hey, we can't go in that direction. We're going to hit the rock. A lighthouse is there to save lives. If anyone has ever needed a lighthouse, you can agree with that. And in dark, you're out in the waters and it's dark and you don't have a bright light and your flashlights, your battery's dead and you have no idea. You see that lighthouse, that's salvation. Let us be found praying, fellowshipping, mentoring, worshiping, and learning together. Again, Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. What's mentioned here benefits us to consider, to make an effort, to observe, to understand one another. This is how we grow in relationships. It is difficult to grow in a relationship with someone that you don't know and that you continue not to know. Nothing can be built on that. Not until you spend time and you reinforce what you already know. You know the person is from the state. Okay, you know the person's from New York. You know the person is from Louisiana. Okay, but don't you want to know a little bit more about them? And that's what happens when we come and not forsake the assembling of ourselves one with another. And so we find here that it benefits us. There are people who come to church who need someone to talk to. And if you don't come, they won't talk to you. You won't talk to them. They need someone to reach out to them. They're bad. They have some troubled past. And it may be the same troubled past you had. So there's a connection there. And there are some, just because of what they're going through, they have some loneliness. And we who are the body of Christ, to turn our backs on anyone or just to say, nah, I don't have time. We have to see ourselves. It's a big deal. To provoke one another to love, unto love. Some of us need a reminder of how to love our neighbor. Some of us need to have that reminder. And so if someone bestows love on us or mercy or helps us in a time of need, that's when we're able to see we need to reciprocate that to someone else. Someone else is in need. To lead us to do good works. Friendly conversations lead to powerful relationships. If you have more of them, you have more of a powerful relationship with another brother, sister in Christ. All for the big deal, for the purpose to assemble in Jesus' name, to exhort each other in Jesus' name as we see the day approaching. That's the end of verse 25. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back, no doubt. No doubt about that. So what are you doing? And if you have an answer to what you're doing, do you have an answer to this question? What is your spirit willing to do to build the kingdom? Because what we're building is not another building, not another structure. What we're building is the family of God, the body of Christ, where we can add to it, and those that have been added to it, strengthening as we have been strengthened by others. Sometimes I think we forget. We forget that person that prayed for us. So therefore, we forget about the person that prayed for us. So then we forget about praying for others. We forget about the person that invited us to church or witnessed to us all those 50 billion times that you told them to know, leave me alone. We forget about that person, which that person was pivotal in you coming to know Christ. We forget about all that. So because if we ever forget about that, we forget that we need to do that to somebody else. And I think a lot of times we need to remind ourselves, examine our hearts and say, what am I willing to do? So as Jacob plays his fiddle, I just want to just close with this, that we ask the Father, Lord, help me to see the areas that I'm not willing, because it shows that there's a big deal, and the big deal is something else other than you. Father, I pray that you will help us, that our spirit would be willing to hear what you have for us to do. To be willing to give all of ourselves. That means everything we own, everything we have, everything that we're able to do. We give it all to you because we're building the kingdom of God. And you are asking me, or you are instructing me, to be a part of that. Father, I pray that our hearts would be willing. If our hearts are stirred, great. I pray you'll teach us how to continue to stir our hearts. And I pray that our hearts and our spirits would be willing to build the kingdom of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.